Well, God is good. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence here in this place. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence here. God, I pray that you would open up our hearts this morning to receive this word from you that you've put in my heart to share. And I thank you, God, that as you've come and inhabited our praise, you come and visited us, won't you remain? And then, Lord, just begin to speak into our hearts. Show us some things that we've not seen before, some things that maybe are just new to us, or maybe just a reminder of things that we've known but just really haven't prioritized in our lives. Lord, we want to grow in you today. We don't want to just come out of habit or ritual or because it's a Sunday morning. Father, we come with an expectation, with an anticipation of you speaking into our lives some things that will transform us. Revolutionize us, reveal things to us that we've not seen before. We want to change. We want to grow to be more like you. We want to die to ourselves today. Show us what that looks like, Holy Spirit. We're open. We yield ourselves to you, and we thank you in advance for what you're going to do, Holy Spirit, to minister the word that you've written to come alive to our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Looks great. It looks good to see everybody here today. I've shared this at times before, but have you ever realized how much that the kingdom of God's principles are upside down from the principles and the way that the world goes? I'll give you some examples just to kind of refresh your memory. The Bible says the first shall be what? That doesn't make sense, does it? But that's what the Bible says. The first shall be last. What else does the Bible say? It says the servant will be the what? The greatest, right? The servant will be the greatest. What else? Given it shall be what? That doesn't make sense. Try that. That was hard for you guys. Given it shall be what? Yeah. Given it shall be given. Doesn't make sense, does it? But yet that's the kingdom principles that is opposite of what the world that we're living in and that we are required to function in. The Bible says we're in the world, not of it, but we're required to function in this world and with the onslaught of everything that's just the opposite of what in a lot of ways of what God's word says, we're to function and live, not just barely make it, by the way, but to really successfully live in this world. It may not make sense, but it does make sense because if you've lived this out before, if you have served, you'll realize what a joy it is to serve. If you've given, you'll realize what a joy it is to give. There's something that makes your flesh die and your spirit come alive when you do things like what God's word says. How many understand what I'm talking about this morning? If you understand, say amen. You know, we're never more like God than when we give. God's ultimate and highest expression of love to you and to me is when he gave his only begotten son. I think we know this verse from heart, John 3:16. Let's all say it. For God so loved the world that he what? He what? He what? He gave his only begotten son that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you know that there's a link between generosity and thanksgiving? There's a link between generosity and thanksgiving. Now, I don't want you to get you lost in this thing this morning. That's the title of what we're going to be looking at today. We've been, over the last several weeks, talking about leading up to Thanksgiving, about the different things about Thanksgiving. Last week, I totally tongue-in-cheek, talked about how we can actually develop and cultivate an ungrateful heart. And I hope that you have not taken any of that to heart this week. I hope that you have not journaled an ingratitude journal, that you've taken your prayer and not said, God, this is what I want, and just use it as a vehicle to have your grocery list of things to God. I was totally being sarcastic like last week, and it really is the opposite of that. There's so much to be thankful for, and if you want to hear last week's message, you can listen to it on our podcast on our church website, connectedfaith.com. As we live in a culture that emphasizes all that we can get, and then emphasizes to can all that we get, and then to sit on that can. You know how that works. Get all you can all you get, sit on the can. You've heard that before, but God's kingdom is different. God blesses us certainly to meet our needs, and that's true. We look around at the things that are in our lives, and thank God that he's given us a job and the means to be able to pay for a roof over our head, clothes on our back, food on our stomach, amen, transportation, pay our power bills, all those sort of things that God has supplied our needs. How many can say that God is a faithful God and has been over the years? See, but God blesses us not only to meet our needs, but here's where we're going to go today. God, along with meeting our needs, has designed that we are blessed to be a blessing to others. And too many Christians, too many believers don't ever get to that place of realizing what a joy that it is to bless others as God has blessed us. That we are, instead of a receptacle, we're actually a conduit. We're a pipe for God's blessings to flow through. And when we give in Jesus' name, the scriptures say that thankfulness, that the thankfulness of those who receive that blessing is given to God. So in other words, we bless others, and others in turn thank and bless God. And that's the link between generosity and thanksgiving that I hope that we can walk away with understanding today. Now, the world says it the opposite, and actually our flesh will say this opposite. We think just the opposite, maybe some of us, or, and I know I do this at times too, because it's the opposite of what we want that we think should happen. If we give, our flesh wants to get acknowledgement somehow from it. Somehow we want to get that plaque. Somehow we want to get that card. Somehow we want to get that street named after us or that building named after us. Depending on the size of the gift, we want that acknowledgement. We want others to know what we've done. And while it's nice to be acknowledged for our kind deeds and generosity, it also can become a dangerous thing because it tends to feed on our flesh in an unhealthy way if we're not careful. That's in part why social media can be so damaging to our walk with the Lord, by the way, as our egos rise and fall on how many likes we get or how many retweets that we have from our post. Remember, the same people who praised Jesus as the King on Monday yelled, "Crucify him," on Thursday. People's praise is fickle. People's praise are really establishing our value and our worth as to why we give on unstable ground. So if we live for the praise that we get for our generosity, we build our reason for giving on sinking sand. Jesus didn't do all that he did and give his life for us so that he could be praised, by the way, because Jesus doesn't need our praise. He's God. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but Jesus is not sitting at the throne right now saying, "Oh, if you would just praise me, because I sure need it right now." He's not saying that. You see, our praise to him doesn't make him any more magnificent. It doesn't make him any more wonderful. It doesn't make him any more glorious than he already is. But while he doesn't need us to praise him, we absolutely need to praise him. Our praise to him isn't for him. Our praise to him is for us because it keeps our perspective where it needs to be in our relationship with him. As we've praised him this morning, I don't know if you've thought about that. I don't know if you come into times of prayer as if, "Lord, I'm coming to praise you because you need this." No, I'm coming to praise you because I need to praise you so that I don't get the big head. We praise him because of his gift of salvation. We praise him because he loved us first. We give him glory because he rescued us from our sins. You see, that's how it works, is that his generosity produces thanksgiving in our hearts back to him, doesn't it? When you thank him, when you praise him, when you give him glory for all that he's done, it's saying, "Thank you for that kind and wonderful gift, that gift that I can't repay. And I'm going to acknowledge you for that, and I'm going to give you praise for it. I'm not going to thank you for being saved. Jesus is the one that saved me." You're not going to turn to someone else and thank them for being saved. It's Jesus that gets the praise. "Now, I thank you for leading me. I thank you for telling me, but ultimately I'm going to give God praise," right? And that's kind of the nature of what we're talking about, expecting thanks towards us as a condition to our gift to others is unhealthy, as it leaves God, the ultimate source of every good and perfect gift, out of the equation. It's much like what Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 6. He said, "Not to let the left hand know what the right hand is doing." In other words, don't give to be seen or exalted or to give thanks, but give because you're no more like God to others than when you give. And when you give as unto the Lord, the Holy Spirit will connect their heart, those that receive that gift, to God. But don't get me wrong now. Let me just put a little caveat here. please continue to express your thanks to those who've given you gifts, who've shown you generosity. But realize as you're receiving those gifts that, yeah, the thank you notes, the hug, the handshake, the call, it's all good. It's important, in fact, because we want to honor those people for their generosity. But realize that as you're thanking them, really, that gift is not coming from them. That gift is coming from God. So ultimately, your blessings come from God, and your thanksgiving should be focused on Him as your source. Really, what we're saying is, God, thank you for your generosity in supplying my needs and blessing me through the generous and kind person who just gave me what they gave me. And if you don't believe me on this, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 through 15 totally says this. Here it comes. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 through 15 says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower," that's you and me, we're sowers, "and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness." Now, what that means is this. As God blesses you, and you then bless others, he will then give you more to bless so that you can be more of a blessing. That's really what that's saying right there. We're blessed to be a blessing. And then it says you're going to be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Now, let's not pigeonhole this into as far as money. You can be generous with your time. You can be generous with your talents. You can be generous with your kindness. You can be generous by simply extending out who you are to the person standing in front of you that's in need of that is Christ in you. It's not just money. It's everything. That's why it says you'll be enriched in every way. Not just in money, but in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. There it is. Through us, as I give to you, you're going to give thanks to God. That's what he's saying. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you've proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. He's really expanding on this. He's saying, not only do I thank you for the gift, but I thank you because, you know what? I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care, and you're doing this as unto the Lord, and you're actually being a representative of Jesus. And so not only is your kindness just kindness because you're a person, but your kindness is kindness through the gift of Jesus Christ, and I kind of want to know what you've got going because I need the same thing you have. And it's called salvation. It's called the free gift of salvation. It's really ministering the gospel as you give, because God's going to make sure that the love of Christ, that the good news of Jesus is going to be realized in their lives as you give of your time, talent, and treasure. And it says here, continues, "Because of the service by which you've proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else." Really what that's saying is, don't just share with the body of Christ, but share with those outside of the body of Christ. Everybody needs the good news. And they don't care, again, how much you know until they know how much you care. Don't you dare go up and say Jesus loves you and walk away when they need a loaf of bread. Right? That's the idea of it. Like what we did yesterday with those folks. And we'll talk more about it next week. But 88 people, it wasn't just here's some food. We dropped them off at their house. We prayed with them. Lots of good things happened. Can't wait to hear the good report next week. You're going to have to come back next Sunday for it. But a lot of good ministry took place yesterday because we gave it as unto the Lord. And every can of green beans and every box of dressing and stuffing that you bought was connected to a soul. I want you to know that when you picked that thing off the shelf and put it in your shopping cart and dropped it off here over the last few weeks, God's taking that and bringing the gospel to someone through a can of green beans and through the turkey that we've given them and all the fixings that go with that. Thank you, by the way, for your generosity, because it says, "For your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace of God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." It all goes back. It all goes back to him. It all goes back. It's nothing, Shekinah and the rest of the team, everybody else, that it's nothing that we did yesterday. It's nothing that we did to provide the food for them. It's nothing that we did to pay for it and get the green beans. It all goes back to God. All the glory goes back to him for everything that we do. And by the way, thank you everyone that showed up yesterday in the rain and delivered all that food to those people throughout this city. Let me just condense this one more time. It's saying this, all the blessings, all the seeds that come are coming from God, all those things that we have, those seeds, it's not your money, it's not your talent, it's not your time, it's not your body, it's not your car, it's not your house, it's not your possessions, none of that belongs to you or me. All the blessings come from God. And then you're giving them, which is sowing. The seeds are from God. We sow them into the ground. It increases your righteousness, which is really Christ-likeness. So have you found that as you give, you just feel more Christ-like? You know what I'm talking about? That sense of, man, I don't know, there's something that's happening here as I'm doing this. And again, I'll go back to it. You're never more like God than when you give, because God loved the world that he gave his only son. So you're never more like God than when you give. That's why you're increasing your Christ-likeness, your righteousness, becoming more like Christ as you give. It enriches you to give more. So it's not just, well, I've given all I got. No, he's going to give you more. Just like the men with the talents, he gave him one, I think three, and then another one five, and everyone doubled it except for the first guy, and he buried it. No, he's given us more so that we can be faithful with more. And the results are, all of it, expressing thanks to God. And I'll just say this, should always be our motivation for giving, that others would give thanks to God. Now, receiving gifts makes us thankful, and as we're on the receiving end of it, at Christmas time and at other special times of the year, it's always nice to be thought of with special gifts, and it produces thankfulness in our hearts. And there's something great about receiving gifts, too. It's so wonderful to receive. But the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so let's follow that path, because giving makes us, I think, more thankful, and it helps us to cultivate a lifestyle of generosity. I have found over the years that the more that I give, and I didn't start out this way. I started out growing up just like most of us in here. My favorite word was mine. Right? So you have to work through this. You have to grow this. You have to give place to it. And I think too often, I think we're just doing everything that we can to grab hold of everything that we can and just not give it out. But as we give, it'll cultivate a lifestyle of generosity. I'm going to give a little real quick story about our son. We have two sons, grown now, but our youngest son, Braden, he was roughly about 8 years old, I want to say, and he had a lemonade stand, the old lemonade stand at the driveway. And that was several years ago. He's 20, he was born in 92. He's 27 now, so this was almost 20 years ago. And I remember he just diligently sold lemonade all day long, every day, and just during the summer. He's just having a good time with it. And we thought he was saving money to buy, knowing him, some sort of electronic computer sort of thing. He's really into that, and he owns a business doing that now and just does a great job with it. He was at 8 years old, but he was already into it. And I thought, Kelly and I thought that that's what he was. In fact, by the way, I just say this. We're having a baby shower today in probably about an hour or so. There's a baby shower for his wife. He's not having a baby. His wife is. But he had a little contribution to it. But they're having a baby. And it's due on the January the 12th. And so they're having a shower today, and that's where Kelly is. In fact, she's at the shower. But he's all grown now. They're getting ready to have a little girl. They're gonna have a little girl. So we're excited about that. But he took that money, and I don't even remember how much it was. It was a lot to him, and he did well over the weeks selling lemonade. And he came to us one day, and I'm not sure how he connected this. And I'm sure that Kelly would be able to remind me, but somehow he found out about a ministry. We lived in Rome, Georgia at the time, and there was a ministry there that took care of children that were, that they had difficult home life, and this place was a place where the children could go and just have a somewhat normal place to be loved on and all that. And it was kind of a children's ministry that was there, a local charitable organization that served children in the community. And somehow that connected with his heart. And he came to us one day and said, you know, Mom and Dad, I'd like to give all this money to them. Oh, you know, talk about buttons flying everywhere. So proud. And of course, so we called up the people, and they were same way, just blown away. And we took it over there, and they made a big deal with him, which just did nothing but reinforce, you know, I got to do this again, you know. And I just look at him, and I think about that beautiful giving heart that he had as a little boy. And oh, that we would all be that way. But as a grown person, that we would be that way. Just have that simplicity of saying, there's a need. I have the provision. Let's take care of that. And he's never lacked. Our son is never lacked. God's just blessed him through the years because he has this giving heart. And as much as that gift brought joy and thankfulness to not only the receivers, I can just tell you that Kelly and I witnessed firsthand the joy that it brought to our little boy and to us. And I've also seen Kelly give so many things, Kelly and I, over the years, the thanksgiving that's produced in people's hearts towards God. And I just go on and on about that, but I won't. We all have our stories. I'm sure you've could share and you've experienced the same thing as you've given. It is truly more blessed to give than to receive, isn't it? Because you are never more like God than when you give. I want to ask three questions to you this morning, but I want to start off by reading to you a story. This is not a parable, as some stories are parables, which is really a story that's kind of make-believe, but it has meaning and application to it. This actually happened between Jesus and what some would call a rich young ruler, a rich young man. When we look at the fruits of our labor as ours, it becomes tight-fisted and stingy. It reminds me of this scene from Star Wars, the original, the very first one that happened. It came out in 1977, where Princess Leia was in one of the ships. She was held captive, and Lord Tarkin, you remember him? Kind of that older guy. He was the head of everything. He was mean-looking, and boy, he was very ominous. And he was threatening her and saying, we're going to kill the people and take over, and you're done for. And she said, the more you tighten your grip, Lord Tarkin, the more star systems will slip through your fingers. And I think about that line as it relates to the stuff that we have in our lives. The tighter we hold on to stuff, if you look, there's little cracks in between your fingers, right? And stuff, have you ever done it? Squeezed dough or Play-Doh or putty or mud or anything like that? You squeeze that stuff, and something's going to come in between the cracks the tighter you squeeze. It's just going to happen. You can't help it. And that's what happens when we hold on to our stuff. When we see that our ability to make money is a gift from God, then we realize our possessions are an extension of that gift from God and helps us to not hold on as tightly to them. We don't own anything. Everything belongs to God. We're simply stewards of that He's placed in our care. A key to thankfulness and generosity is realizing that everything belongs to God. So let's read Mark chapter 10. This encounter that Jesus had with this rich young man. Starting in verse 17, it says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. And then honor your father and your mother. And I can just see him going, done, check, got it, nailed it, yep. Everything on that list he took care of. He said, teacher, all these things I've kept since I was a little boy. So, cha-ching, I'm in. And then Jesus looked at him and loved him. And it's just so important to just stop right there for just a moment. Jesus looked at him and loved him. He saw beyond the outward. Don't you know that Jesus sees our hearts? Jesus knows our hearts. Oh, we can't deceive him. He knows us. He knows us. He knows us. And where we might be able to fool other people around us, oh, aren't they sweet? Aren't they giving? Aren't they godly? Aren't they whatever? We know how we really are. We're just all sinners saved by grace. We put on that good front in front of people, but inside we're struggling with some stuff. I get it. We all are. But Jesus looked at him. He didn't just look at him. He looked like into him. And he loved him. What do you mean by that? What does he mean? Well, Jesus loves everybody. Yeah, he does. But there's a particular kind of love. It's like this compassion that reached out, because what he saw what had hold of him. He saw what was keeping him. And so he spoke directly to that had hold of him. And he said, "One thing you lack." And I'm sure that got that man's attention. He thought, "Well, I'm a rich man. I can buy it. I can take care of this. What would it be? Just, I'll write out the check. Just tell me what it is." He said, "Go, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." Really? You know, God has a way of getting around all the peripherals and all the stuff we throw in him, the kind of the diversions and the distractions, and he gets right to the heart of the matter, doesn't he? Because he sees our hearts. It could have been for this man that it could have been that he maybe relationships were a thing for him, where he was struggling maybe in some sort of lust issues or something like that, or whatever it would be. I don't know. It could be anything that's represented in this congregation today and in your life. He spoke to that man because the money had a hold of him. His possessions had a hold of him. So he knew directly how to speak to that had hold of him. And he says, "I can't be Lord of your life until you allow this other stuff to not be Lord of your life. So go sell all you have, because that's your stumbling block. That's your hurdle. And then come and follow me. And then let your treasure be what I have providing for you." Well, we know his response. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. So this true story begs for us a few questions I'd like for us to consider today as we begin to take this message home for a landing. Here's the first question. I want you to write this question down. It's going to be on the screen. Here it is. How tightly do your possessions have a hold on you? How tightly do your possessions have a hold on you? What would you do if God told you to give everything that you have away, like Jesus did with this rich young man? You know, it's a tough question with an even tougher answer. But God is not really looking so much at what you possess, but what possesses you. That's what Jesus was addressing when he looked upon this young man in love. He saw his heart. He saw his possessions had a hold on him. He saw that there wouldn't be any room in that young man's heart for Jesus when his God was his things. Our grip on possession sometimes keeps us from allowing the Holy Spirit to use them to bless others as he intends. Do you realize that? Things that are in your life, your possessions, your riches, whatever that would be, when is it that the Lord has maybe spoken to your heart to say, "You need to write that check, give that thing away. You need to release that to my kingdom." And maybe you've walked away because you thought maybe that wasn't him, and surely that wouldn't be something he would ask of you. But see, maybe that thing has a hold on you, and maybe he's trying to get that to be released from your heart so that he can have room to get in there and be the Lord of every area of your life. I don't know. It is a tough question. It's a tougher answer. But let's not let the grip of our possessions allow the Holy Spirit to use them to bless others. Don't hold on to them so tightly, because they will squeeze through your fingers. They will. Which leads me to my second question. Have you ever considered that God's blessings on your life were to bless others? Have you ever considered that everything that you have of your time and talent and treasure was given to you to not keep and hold on to tightly, but to steward for God's purposes? The rich young man certainly didn't. Nowhere on that list of things that he did was it mentioned that he gave his riches to bless others. There was nowhere that it talked about generosity. I think too often that we look at our stuff as our stuff, for us to enjoy exclusively without any thought of how it might also bless and benefit others. You know, consumerism is countercultural to God's kingdom, where there's a culture of giving away. Consumerism says, grab hold of all you can and don't let go. You know, he who dies with the most toys wins. It shows up in so many ways, not the least of which in this time of year where the Madison Avenue marketing machine is running on all cylinders to tap into our desire to want stuff we don't need and to add to stuff we already have too much of. That's why storage units are popping up all over the place. We live in a giant McMansion of a house with tons of square feet and still don't have any place to put all of our stuff. But what if we were more measured in our Christmas spending this year? What if we were more outward focused in our expenditures throughout the year? Not just at Christmas, but 365 days. What if instead of getting all we can and holding tightly to it, as our culture is promoting, we instead embrace the kingdom of God's culture by giving more away? God's kingdom's metrics isn't based on what we hold on to, but what we give away. Given, it shall be given, right? Pressed down, shaken together, running over, from God's storehouse, by the way, and into your hands, by the way, to sow it into the fields that he assigns for you, by the way. And that's hard to do, I know, because it goes against what we see all around us. But remember, the Bible says that we're in the world, not of it. We live by different values, a different set of values than the world does. But God is calling us to trust him, to live by his kingdom metrics, which leads us to our third and final question that I want to leave with you today, is this. How much do you trust God? How much do you trust God? You see, the rich man, the rich young man, he didn't trust God. He wanted God over here, and he wanted his stuff over there. He'd rather hold on to his stuff than to trust in God. I've talked about this before. It's like we live in silos. Here's my silo of things that I've earned and I've worked hard for. Here's my relationship with God on Sunday mornings and maybe other times as it may apply. And never the two shall meet. And we silo our lives throughout the week. We do our Monday through Saturday stuff, and then we do our Sunday stuff. We work hard and get our stuff over here, and then we'll maybe give a little offering to the Lord on Sundays, maybe. But that's what the rich young man did. He wanted God over here, and he wanted his stuff over there. And the sad part is that he held onto the smallness of what he knew, the smallness of what he could hold in his hands, rather than release that smallness to God and go on the grandest adventure that he would ever experience, a life completely placing his trust in God. Imagine what Jesus was offering that young man that day, and he turned it down for what would rust and what moth would eat up and what would be sold at an auction when he died or fought over by his relatives. For the grandest riches of heaven that are unlimited. I talk with too many people over the years, folks, who eat their seed. I talk with too many people who don't tithe. They don't give. They don't live by God's kingdom metrics of being a blessing, who spend it all on themselves, and then invariably they'll come to me and they'll need help paying their bills. If I could just have $50 to pay my light bill. If I could just have $20 to put gas in my car. It's got to that point where they're just living on the edge. And the first question that I usually ask them after I hear them share, and this may seem cold, but it helps me to know where they are. I ask them, are you tithing? Are you tithing? And the response is not most of the time, but it's always no. They tell me they really don't believe in it. They say it's an Old Testament principle. They don't see the importance in it. Or they say they really can't afford to. And my response is always, you can't afford not to. Because they're eating their seed. They don't trust God. They haven't embraced God's ways of doing things. I believe that I'm saved, that God saved me from my sins. I'm going to believe in that, but I'm not going to believe in that what he said in his word, that he's going to take care of all of my needs according to his riches and glory, applies. That doesn't make sense to me. They make their decisions. They make these decisions on obligating their finances and future earnings to car payments and boat payments and house payments and credit card payments. And folks, don't even get me started on what a foolish practice credit card debt is. And they maximize their budgets to the point where they have no margin left, let them loan any money to tithe. When we trust in God in the tithe, he blesses us. How do I know? Well, don't just hear it from me. God said it in Malachi chapter 3. He gave us a challenge starting in verse 8 with a promise at the end. He says, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you, God? And his response is, in tithes and offerings. And listen to this. He says, you're under a curse. Your whole nation, because you're robbing me. Then he says, he turns it. He says, so bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And then here's the promise at the end. He actually gives you a little challenge. He says, test me in this. Did you realize that that's the only place in the Bible that he tells you to test him is in the tithe? That's it. Test him in this. In other words, I dare you, give it a shot. Try it. I promise you that I'm not a man that I would lie. I'm going to take care of this for you. And then here's the promise. If you'll do this, and you're going to see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven for you, and I'm going to pour out so much of a blessing that there's not going to be room enough to store it. Well, we don't want to store it. We want to give it away. That's his point. He's saying, don't buy a bigger storehouse and put it in there. Be a conduit and let me bless you more so there's going to be more of a blessing. But most of us never get to that point because we're like the rich young ruler. We hold on to this stuff and say, this is mine, and I'm going to walk away and not trust him with my tithes and my offerings. And by the way, we talk about the storehouse here. Your storehouse is right here at Faith Assembly. That's where your tithe belongs. And by the way, those of you that are visiting here today, it's like, oh man, he preaches on money every Sunday. No, I don't. If you notice, we haven't even received an offering here today because we don't receive offerings. We have receptacles in the back, and people that come probably are wondering, well, they never asked me for money today. That's because if you want to give, give. On either side of the door, place your offerings and tithes in those receptacles and walk out of here. It's between you and the Lord. We don't receive offerings here. Hadn't done it for years. And I rarely talk about money here. Rarely. Although Jesus did talk about money more than anything else in the New Testament in his teachings. I rarely talk about it here. But today, I'm talking about it. So if you're visiting here today, God bless you. I don't do this every Sunday, I promise. A guy just slipped out that was visiting, so I felt like I needed to say that. Oh, he probably thinks, here's another one of them money-hungry preachers. It's not it at all. Not it at all. So what is a tithe? A tithe, I can't leave this. I've grown up in church, and a lot of us have. But I can't assume that everybody knows, so I just want to make it clear just so there's no confusion. A tithe is 10% of your gross income. Just flat out, it's 10% of your gross income. If you make $1,000 a month, it's $100. 10%. Easy math. 10% of your gross income. Not your net income, Pastor? Well, if you want God to bless you on your net, fine. But I want him to bless me on my gross. And just because the government can take the money out before I get the paycheck doesn't mean that I need to say, well, the government did that. Well, let's go ahead and use that same philosophy and say, well, I've already got an automatic house payment, an automatic car payment, an automatic, you know, this. So whatever's left, that's my net. No, gross. It makes it a whole lot easier. Look at your paycheck. Take 10% off the top of your gross and trust God with it. Don't play games with him. He's you got me on that one. He's not doing that. Do it on your gross. It's just easier. God's not sitting there going, oh, I wish I'd have thought about that. No. And by the way, don't take your tithe and divvy it up between your church and your TV evangelist and your other nonprofit charitable organizations in your heart. Please don't do that. I know some of you don't like telling anyone how to spend your money, and I'm not telling you how to spend your money. There's two things about that. First off, I'm not telling you. I'm just teaching you what God's word says. It's a difference. And secondly, it's not your money. None of it is your money. It's God's money. See, that goes back. Let's come back and revisit that. If you're saying, don't tell me how to spend my money, let's go back to the original, because now you're thinking I'm talking about your money. It's not your money. It goes back to the original issue that we're having here. We're holding on tightly to things. We're siloing things. It's not your money. It's not my money. It's God's. If you don't tithe, Malachi chapter 3 says you're under a curse. And God's not going to bless you. You've tied his hands. You're on your own. It seems stark and cold, doesn't it? But it's true based on what God's word says. If you don't tithe, you're under a curse. But when you do tithe, you're inviting God into your finances. And he obligates himself by that promise to pour out that uncontainable blessing so that you can be more of a blessing to others. We are blessed to be a blessing. He takes care of our needs. He takes care of even some of our wants. But he really wants to, boy, when it really gets fun is when we're giving out. And so that's why he says tithes and offerings, because your offerings are the extra things that you send out to those ministries that you feel good about and that you feel are good soil. But your tithe belongs to your storehouse so that there may be food in my house. In other words, so that the ministries of faith to you and to this community and to this world can continue unimpeded. I want to share with you in a closing snapshot here as we wrap this up. And I'm going to ask you, Linda, would you come up, if you would, please? God has been faithful and God has been good in 2019 here at Faith Assembly. I'm so thankful for God's provision at this church. We've reached out with tens of thousands of dollars in giving to local and international missions and ministry. Last year, by the way, we gave 27 or 28% of our income out from this church. It went out in ministry, either locally or internationally and everywhere in between. That's over 25 cents of every dollar that you give is going back out into that sort of ministry, let alone what's going on in here. We've also remodeled our bathrooms. It's been an expensive project that's been long overdue. And we provided ministry to you, the congregation, and to our community through meaningful discipleship and worship and times of fellowship. This is a healthy church. It's a church that ministers well to one another and to the community. And we've been, as always, excellent and careful stewards of the resources God has provided through your faithful giving. And as I said, our giving in 2019 has been good, and I want to thank you for your faithfulness and your giving. Thank you. But before we bring this year to a close and before we dive into Black Friday, which is this Friday, and we spend a pile of money on things that most likely will end up at the Goodwill, the yard sale, or storage buildings after a few months or years, and you know that I'm not kidding, I'm telling the truth, I want you to consider giving in a place, as Jesus said in Matthew 6:19, where moth doesn't eat, rust doesn't destroy, or thieves break in to steal, and where it was going to make an eternal difference for souls for God's kingdom. I don't want to bring a report at our annual business meeting in January that we fell short of our budget in 2019. So I'm giving you an opportunity to step in to help us meet our budget before we end our year. There's been more of a strain on our budget this year, and as it stands right now, we will fall short a tad on our budget. And I believe, though, that God's provision is in this house. And I want you all to know this now so that we can celebrate at the end of December that God has blessed and met our needs. So I'm asking you this morning, and this goes against much of how I am wired here, but I'm going to let you guys know the need. I'm asking you to prayerfully consider giving generously in a special offering that we're going to receive in 2 weeks from today on December the 8th. Our hope is to receive $40,000 on that day above and beyond the regular tithe that we have received this year, so that we can meet our budget and pay for the bathrooms and take care of all the expenses of this year. $40,000 is what I'm asking. That's what I'm believing for. That's what I'm going to ask you to believe with me for. Now, many of us are looking for places to make end-of-the-year contributions, and some of you as business owners can also make a substantial contribution from your business. All of us can pray for God to provide. All of us can do that. And all of us doing our part can make the difference. Oh, I can't give $40,000. Can you give $100, $500, or $1,000? Can you do something? I just want to say that we as a church tithe, by the way, for those of you that are visiting and those who maybe need to be reminded, our church tithes 15%, not 10, but 15%. We give out every dollar that comes in, 15 cents of it goes into a church tithe fund. And we have done that for many years. And by the way, I'm not concerned about God's providing for faith because we are following Malachi chapter 3's principles. Now, the temptation would be for the leadership to say, hey, how about let's just pull back on this tithe for a while and help to replenish what's going on, because we sure could take that and it'll just help. Just fill it right back up. But that would be eating our seed, wouldn't it? How foolish that would be for us to corporately do that as it would be for you individually to do that. We're not going to do that. This is simply an opportunity for you to sow your seed in the good soil of your storehouse here at Faith, remembering that what God said about it, he said, test me in this and see if I'm not going to throw open the floodgates of heaven. Just throw them open. I just love that. He didn't just barely, he just slings it open. I just imagine it's out of joy. It's just out of, oh, they got it. And pour out so much of a blessing that there's not going to be room enough to store it. I'm believing and expecting God to do this for Faith because we've been obedient to him and will continue to do so. And I'm believing that also for you as well. He's seen that he can get resources through us over the years. I'm confident that he's going to get it to us in an ever-increasing way. Money does not possess us here at Faith. Faith Assembly, we are corporately here, blessed to be a blessing. We trust in God. How about you? How about you? You know, the Apostle Paul used words like abound and increase and enlarge, overflowing, surpassing, in association with giving generously. That's what we'll experience as we embrace the kingdom dynamic of giving. So remember this, generosity produces thankfulness in others towards God. And it's out of his generosity that we respond with gratitude and thankfulness towards him. As we close here today, I want to have you stand. I want to have you bow your heads in prayer. Close your eyes, please, if you will. Lord Jesus, as we're laying out here this challenge and this trusting you that you're going to provide not only for Faith Assembly, also for us as individuals, Lord, this message of the rich young ruler speaks to our hearts, and we see where we maybe there's some things in our life that possess us more than they need to. We don't want anything in our lives to possess us more than you. Lord, we possess things. We are stewarding them, but do they possess us? Show us what that looks like and help us to release those things to you that we would not walk away from the challenge as that rich young ruler did, but that we would walk towards you and say, okay, I'll give you whatever possesses me. I'll release it. I'll let it go. I don't want anything to possess me more than you possess me, Lord. So forgive me. If it's friends, if it's career, if it's relationships, if it's things, talents, goals, aspirations, reputations, whatever. Father, we give it over to you. Father, help us to click over to the understanding that the things that we have, our time, our talent, our treasure, we're blessed with those to be a blessing. Show us what that looks like. How we can roll up our sleeves and apply those blessings in our life, whatever they may be, to advance your kingdom, to glorify your name, to preach the gospel, to share the gospel, that people would know how much we care before they know how much we know, to be an extension of you and whatever that looks like, to be a blessing. And Father, ultimately, help us to trust in you with everything. Don't ever let us look at anything as stuff that belongs to us. Simply, we're stewards of it, and that we could be quick to loosely hold on to them, easily and freely give them, gladly give them, knowing that the greatest treasure that we have is the treasure that we have in you, and that you're going to supply our needs. You've promised that. You're going to pour out a blessing that we can't contain so that we can give it out more. You've promised that. Father, show us what that looks like. If we don't tithe, help us to tithe. If we've not trusted you up to this point, help us to trust you in it. If we've obligated that 10% to something else and there's more month than money, Father, help us to step out and say, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to tithe. And I'm going to trust you, Lord God, that as you're promising in your word that I'm no longer under that curse, but now I'm you're obligated to me to provide for my needs as I give you what is yours, that 10% to this storehouse. Thank you, Lord. And help us to trust you in every area of our lives. As we've trusted you with salvation, help us to trust you with our finances, our possessions, what represents us. In all things, be the Lord of our lives.